Well, if you're ready, I'm ready. I'm going to give you four words to remember. And they're pretty cool words. And they go like this. Yield, declare, guard, and please. Yield, like the yield sign. Declare, like somebody with a megaphone just declaring something to God. Guard, like a garrison of troops surrounded you, guarding you from all evil. And please, like you bringing in, into people's lives happiness. You're going around doing things to bless people and make them happy. You're pleasing them. Yield, declare, guard, please. YDGP. Okay? Well, turn to Luke 41. And if you're able to follow me through the teaching, I might have a surprise for you at the end. But if I see your eyes glaze over, I'll hold it till later. Luke chapter 10. And actually, let's start in verse 38. Now it came to pass as they went, they entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. In other words, no, Martha, I'm not going to say that. In verse 40, but Martha was cumbered about with much serving. And the word cumbered means distracted. Martha was distracted. And Jesus was telling her this. Martha, all the serving that you're doing has got you distracted from what you ought to be doing. And from what Mary's doing, of course. And then in verse 41, and Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. Careful means over anxious, and troubled means distracted. And it could mean, it comes from the Greek word meaning turbulent. And it's only used here, so you've got a little liberty to fit it in. But Martha, Martha, thou art over anxious, because that's really what taking too much thought means, and distracted about many things. It wasn't just about taking care of the stuff that she was running around doing right then, but apparently she was over anxious about many things. Otherwise, I don't think Jesus would have said it. And the reason that I want to share on this is because learning how to deal with anxiety is extremely challenging. I find it challenging. For me, and maybe you do too, I don't know. One thing I hate is when I wake up in the middle of the night and start thinking, and just think and think and think, and I don't want to think and think and think in the middle of the night. I just want to sleep. And that is a characteristic of anxiety. It's not necessarily negative. Maybe you need to think about it, I don't know. But I'm just saying that if you are anxious, like in a negative sense, like apparently Martha was, then you might find this an interesting teaching. But I do like the two definitions that I've thrown out at you. The word careful, oh, it's full of care, but it means over anxious or taking too much thought. And then troubled, it's only used here, and it means disturbed. And so God has given us a way to handle an anxious mind. There's lots of things out in the world about, you know, how to deal with it too, but I kind of like going to the Word for some reason. This agitation, which is troubled, it's another word that you could use for troubled, is quite interesting because if you want to know if you've got anxiety, are you agitated? What kind of agitation do you got on the inside? I heard an interesting fact that at any given time we have between 40 and 60 emotions going on at once inside us. And only one or two might pop to the surface. And that means that they're too prominent. And then you seek to bring that into homeostasis again. That's a scary word. Basically back into balance, your emotions. And then you keep all 40 to 60 at bay. And you just live your life. But they're all there. And if you get agitated, you're out of that homeostasis. You're out of that balance. And we want to get back in that balance. And so Jesus referred, well, he referred to her overcare. Jesus wasn't confronting Martha on overservice, but overcare. Now we know that careful or care means anxious. So he was confronting her on, you're a little too anxious, Martha. You need to calm down. You need to refocus. But how do you do that? I think it's interesting that the Son of God actually dealt with this. I mean, you got to think about that too, because that is so totally on the plane of humanity. I mean, we all deal with anxiety. I wish I could say I don't, but I can't. I have to tell you that I do deal with anxiety at times. And I find it so amazing that Jesus actually dealt with that, personally dealt with that to help somebody. And so Martha had to come to a realization. She had to recognize that he was right because the Son of God never lied. And I'm sure that confrontation was pretty intense in her heart and life. And Mary just sat there waiting for him to finish with her so he could get back to the Word to bless her. You know, and the other people there. But I just thought it was amazing that he took the time to deal with this stuff. And so it's a big deal. It's important. And so Martha had to come to the realization and recognize that she had an issue. That she had to deal with this. It's like me. I didn't know what I was dealing with, you know, for a long time. And then I started putting it together. Then I had to recognize it. And I did. I recognized that I had too much thinking going on. And I was even disturbed where I had that distraction and that turbulence in my mind. And and so Philippians chapter 4 actually helps us understand how to deal with this. And I think it's great that God continued this teaching in terms of providing the help that every person in the world needs. If you think that I'm the only person that has to deal with this, you're wrong. And I hope that you don't think that. I hope you're not sitting there thinking, well, Jerry, just because you deal with anxiety, you don't need to be teaching about this. I'm telling you that Jesus brought this up. And that God put it in the Word so that we could deal with it. And so for anybody listening to this, I pray that you take it to heart. Because it's awesome how you can fix it. Because none of us want to be agitated, disturbed, anxious, overcaring, instead of overserving. We want to be able to receive the Word. And be able to sit there and listen to it with a peaceful heart. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious or careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Well, rejoice means to joy over and over. Verse 4. And then just to do it again and again. And truly the greater perspective is always the 30,000 foot view. Rejoice in the Lord. You can get lost in the minutia. You can trudge through the weeds all you want. But a lot of times it's better just to get right back on up to 30,000 foot and realize that Jesus Christ is coming back and that this world is not our home. And verse 5, let your moderation, and I just love that word. That's one word I don't think I'll ever forget the definition to. Yieldingness on insignificant matters. And that's where I get the first word I gave you today, yield. Obviously, you have to recognize that you need to hear this. Every man, woman, and child does. Not just me. But rule number one, or step number one, or phase number one, is yield. Let your yieldingness on insignificant matters be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. You've got God in Christ in you. And the last thing you want to do is carry God in Christ around and not obey this word. Just be yielding on insignificant matters and let it be known that you do that unto all men. It's just fantastic. And then we go to verse 6. Be careful, and that's take thought, or don't be anxious. Take thought for nothing. Be careful for nothing. It doesn't say just for some things, but it says for nothing. Just don't be anxious. Well, how do you get there? Well, it's a journey. It's a walk. Yeah, but you can be anxious for nothing. And then we find a solution. But in everything, by prayer. And that means earnest prayer. This is where you really get down. And supplication. And supplication are petitions. Where you just lay it out over and over. You petition God. You might have to say it 1,000 times before it happens, but you petition Him. And you do it with thanksgiving. And thanksgiving means gratitude. In other words, a grateful language to God. When you give Him those petitions, you're doing it with a grateful language. And you let your requests, and these are the things you ask for, be made known, and the word known is declared unto God. And there's declare. And so I summed up all the prayer things in declare. So you yield on insignificant things in front of all men, and you declare your earnest desires, your petitions, with a grateful language to God. And then verse 7 says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And the word keep is the word guard or guarded. And it means to be a watcher in advance. Like you know, or it knows, it's got to protect you because of something coming. It watches out for you in advance. It means to hem in. When you hem, like a troop borders, surrounds you, you're hemmed in, you can't get out. But the peace of God will hem you in so that other things can't get in, you're protected. And it means to protect. So the peace of God will guard your hearts and minds. And the word mind means your perception, your intellect. You'll continue to have sound thoughts. You won't be easily influenced by the world. You'll be protected by that peace. And it's all through Christ Jesus. Believe it or not, prayer is the answer. Most people will not accept that. But prayer is the answer. And when you pray, prayer is two-way. When you are quiet and alone, and I do this a lot, and then I expect two-way conversation. I expect two-way communication. I expect realization. I expect the peace of God to help mold my perceptions and my intellect as I'm praying. I expect to have understanding. Isn't that what it's all about? And then comfort, and then the peace can live in there. Earnest prayer, petitions, and requests declared unto God is what this prayer is. When you ask God for deliverance, immediately His peace positions itself as your personal guard. It comes to work for you. It won't come to work for you unless you enact it, though, because this is all free will. Most people do not get deliverance unless they take Zantac or some other drug. Do not get their deliverance because they don't do it the right way. You've got to go to God. And it might not be easy. It might take time for this to happen, but at least it happens. So that peace positions itself as your personal guard, protecting you, hemming you in total protection. It begins its eternal watch over your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. So obviously you'd want to be habitual in this if you want it to be eternal. First Peter. Well, I'm going to just tell you two verses. If you're writing, you can just read these later. First Peter 1, verses 3 through 5. And 2 Corinthians 11, verse 32. Take a look at those. And they will teach you some fantastic things about guard. About what that guard really means. And we find that we're guarded by the power of God through faith unto salvation. And we find that the guard it's spoken of in 2 Corinthians 11 is like a garrison of troops that surround us. It's the same word as how God will take care of us with His peace. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. So I've covered yield. Be yielding on insignificant matters. Just yield. Just yield. You can't have two bulldozers standing off and expect somebody to win. They're just going to sit there until somebody runs out of gas. You know, you got to yield. You have to yield. And if you don't yield, none of this will ever happen for you. God has given a natural order of things. That's the only way that He could use a word like yield. He's given a natural order. And if you don't use the natural order, then none of this even makes a difference. But He wants His order to work. Before we were married, we spent our time pleasing the Lord. And I wanted you to read with me 1 Corinthians 7:32. But I would have you without carefulness. This is anxiety. This is the over-anxiousness, the same word. 1 Corinthians 7:32. But I would have you without carefulness. And so this is the same word that we saw in Luke 10:41. Thou art careful and troubled. And then we saw it again in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, be careful for nothing. And now we see it in verse 32 of 1 Corinthians 7, but it would have you without carefulness. This is a major subject in 1 Corinthians 7 about whether or not to get married. And what goes on with married people versus unmarried people. But I would have you without anxiousness. And I'll add my little note in there, even when married, it doesn't matter. He that is unmarried takes thought or is anxious for the things that belong to the Lord. So there is a good anxiety, a good taking a little too much thought at times. I mean, it's not that it's bad. It's just like when you have emotions, you know, you should experience your emotions, because your emotions aren't going to hurt you. You don't want to be afraid of them. You want to live through them and experience them. Well, the same as this. This anxiety is not going to kill you. And if you have good anxiety, like you have good too much thinking about serving the Lord, that's okay. But just keep it in balance, because you still have to get all the other stuff done in your life. So he that is unmarried is anxious or full of care for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. And this is where we introduce the third word, please. And it's tied directly with anxiety, carefulness, how he may please. And the word please means to be agreeable, through the idea of exciting emotion. To be agreeable through the idea of exciting emotion. So it's not just being nice, but it's actually taking it a step further in exciting emotion, bringing happiness into somebody's life. You could even say that he may make the Lord happy. Well, that means we could make the Lord happy. I mean, the verse is there. So you do have some power there. It's pretty cool. When we were married, we transferred this pleasing attitude to our spouse. Verse 33. But he that is married careth for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife. And again, the word please means to be agreeable through the idea of exciting emotion. And in verse 34, there is difference also between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried careth for the things of the Lord, is anxious for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and spirit. But she that is married is anxious or careful for the things of the world, how she may please, make her husband happy. Please means to make feel really good. If we spend more time trying to please others, we'll be much happier ourselves. It just has to happen. If you saw a smile on Jesus Christ's face because of something you did, what would it do for you? I mean, really? I think it would make a difference. And so think about that in terms of people. Romans chapter 15. Romans 15, verse 1. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. This isn't about just making ourselves happy, exciting our own emotions. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. Neighbor means the other Christians, your fellow Christians, and it could be people outside the church. But Christians come first. And edification means to build up. And there's two ways, mentally or spiritually. For even Christ, verse 3, pleased not himself. He wasn't into just making himself happy. I don't even know if he was very happy. You don't have to be happy to be sinless. You know, I don't know if he was happy or not. I'm sure he had moments of happiness. But this makes me think about it. For even Christ wasn't just into making himself happy. Pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. That wouldn't make me happy at all if I had to deal with that stuff. So I don't know where his head was at on that. I don't know. But it's not about us being happy all the time. It's about helping others. That's one of the main reasons you're on this earth. I mean, if you ever wondered, why am I here? Well, number one, so that you could love God. Number two, so that you could help people. I don't know any other reason to be here. Why else are you here? You know, it's got to come down to something as simple as that. We're born again to do good works, but good works for what? Dogs, cats, birds, cows. I think it's deeper than that. I'm just going to go on that one for a minute. I think we're supposed to do good works for other people. And I think we're supposed to bring that goodness and that goodness into their life so that they could have some happiness, exciting emotions in them. Even if it's just for a fleeting second, that's what Jesus did. What do you think happened to those people that he healed? Think they were sad? What do you think happened to them when he fed them? What do you think happened to them when their sins were forgiven? We should seek to make you, and I know you've heard this before. It's going to sound very familiar. We should seek to make others happy so that they can become edified by way of God's word. Put your strength to good purpose, not keeping it only to yourself. You have a God-given ability to do good works. You have a God-given strength to please others. You must do it. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 32. Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. Verse 33, even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. Do you remember this from Agape? I can never forget that. Walking a pleasing life means that you will no longer give offense to anyone. Please all in all, not seeking your own profit, but the profit of many. This is not just about reaching out to one person. This is about reaching out to a lot of people, that they may be saved. This is the agape walk. See how this ties into agape now? And agape gets rid of anxiety. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Find someone to follow who understands this. It does work. Truly our walk is to please God by pleasing others. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. First Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1. Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. Now you have a job of keeping God happy. And this is, if you focus on just trying to keep you happy, it will not work. You will never get to the stage where you're making God happy or Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1. I'll read it again. Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. Now you can read that any way you want. You want to read it backwards? More and more abound would ye so. God please to and walk to ought ye, how us of received have ye as that. Jesus, Lord, the by you exhort and brethren, you brethren we then you beseech we then furthermore. It still makes sense. This is what we're supposed to be doing. yield, demand, guard, and please. Well, I find this interesting because three parts are up to you and one part's up to God. Okay? We've learned that God doesn't want us to be over anxious. He wants homeostasis. He wants us to have our emotions in balance, all 40 to 60 of them at any given split instant in time. And if that's the truth, then His way supersedes the world's way. Because you always have a counterfeit offering from Satan. I don't care what it's for. He will counterfeit everything. Because I thought about this. How in the world do we take care of Christians who have anxiety? This has troubled me for a long time. How do we take care of Christians who have anxiety when the world system is so entrenched? The psychologist, the psychiatrist, the neuroscientist, the counselors, the therapist, and the drugs, the psychotic drugs, all of these things within the system are so embedded. How do we do it from God's word, though? Because God had to give a way. He did have to provide a way that worked for everyone without fail. No question. Time and time again. And I think this is it. I think that if you deliberately entrench yourself in God's system, you're going to hit pay dirt. All kinds of things flashed in my mind when I was studying this. Like the Amish. And you'll see this when I give you your special. Because I don't see anybody's eyes glazed over. I'm going to give you your Kmart special. Because I think you'd be mad if I didn't. And then we'd have to work on homeostasis. Did you get that? Okay. So, yeah. Well, if you get mad, all of a sudden your emotion popped up out of the 40 to 60. We want to bring it back down. And so I don't want to be a trigger here. But now we know the four words. We yield, we declare, we guard, and we please. So God does the guarding. He provides the garrison. Don't even ask me how. I got some good guesses. But we have to do the yielding. We have to declare, make known all of these things, the petitions, the earnest prayer, with a grateful attitude and words. And then we have to walk with others to edify them with good works. What if they act like they don't want to receive it? Well, it doesn't matter. Do you stop? No. What if it's hard one day to do it? Well, it doesn't matter. You just still do it. I think one of the hardest things for me to do is when I'm mad about something to not take it out on other people. It's so easy for me to be mad at everybody because I'm mad at one person or one thing. Like if something bad happens at work, for instance, it just makes me so mad. And then I just want to take it out on everybody. One of the hardest things for me to do is to not take it out on everybody. And so, I have to do this in front of all men and manage my life in front of all men. And I try. I've tried for many, 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 many years, and still it's challenging. But I believe that this is the answer. So we've learned that we yield, we declare, God guards, and we please. And so we need to train ourselves to stop thinking so much about the things that really don't matter. I hope that worked in your heart. We need to let our yieldingness on insignificant matters be made known to all men. If you don't, people will know you for the opposite. I don't want to be known for that. I want to be known for being yielding. Pray earnestly, petition God, be grateful when you declare your needs to Him. He's expecting them, so you don't have to be anxious about it. Just let Him know. Enact God's guard through His garrisons of peace and protection. You'll love it. Seek to please others so that they may become edified with God's word. Seek to bring happiness into other people's lives. I don't care how hard it is. You should have a goal of every day making one person happy. Make them happy. Do something to excite their emotion. And that means you need to go over the top. Do something to make somebody happy every day in your life. Do not just sit there looking for your own happiness. What kind of TV show can I watch today to make me happy? You know, or what can I eat to make me happy? Our world is so selfish. We need to make other people happy. Do something. You will be challenged on this. Because other people might not want you to make other people happy. You might have a neighbor that gets mad at you. You're just too happy. You're always trying to say nice things. And they're there. Just ignore them. You make people happy. Even when you're on your deathbed, you make people happy. When I broke my neck, riding in that rodeo, and I was laid up with a halo brace for so long, that those first couple weeks, people would come to my bed and I would minister to them, and they got healed. Because I wanted to make people happy. I wanted to do good works. You can come up with any excuse you want to not do this. That's your business. I wouldn't. Walk according to agape and defeat anxiety. Stop offending others with your fears and anxieties. Please all in all, or make everyone happy. No longer looking for your own profit. Help others become saved. Establish your own priorities and take control of your thoughts. This is what God expects. Please God. Make God happy. Do not entangle yourself with the affairs of this life anymore. And for the Kmart special, Philippians 4, verse 8. What do you think? I know you were thinking this. What do you think? What do you think? What do you think? Because if you're laying in bed at night and you can't stop all those rancid thoughts, what do you do? Well, you pray. We already know that. We know we yield, we declare, we get God's guard, and we make people happy. But I'm not going to get up in the middle of the night and make somebody happy. I'm too tired. And by the time morning rolls around, I don't have clarity of thought to do it yet. I got to wait a little bit. My favorite saying is, why do you want to get up that early? God's not even awake then. I used to get up early, but that was years ago. Well, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. So, these are what you think when you're battling overthought, when you're battling too much thought, when you're battling anxious thoughts, when you're disturbed. These are what God says to think. Now, this is God's plan. It might not be your plan, but if you want to go God's way, let's sink into His system a little bit and see how it works. Now, you're going to have to commit yourself to it. You're going to have to commit yourself to yielding. You're going to have to commit yourself to declaring. You're going to have to commit yourself to trusting in His peace and guard. And you're going to have to commit yourself to pleasing others. That almost is ominous. Not quite, but almost. Especially if you don't do it today, because you have to make a huge change. So there's ways you can think about this. We're given seven words, seven things. We're given true, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report, virtue, praise. Philippians 4, verse 8. And so, true means, well, the opposite of it means you cannot lie, like Jesus Christ, like God. Cannot lie. Honest means honorable or grave. Honorable. Just means righteous. It comes from a Greek word which is the only source of the word for righteous in the Bible. Pure means holy. Lovely, good report, and virtue are only used here. And you could even just use them as they are. Lovely is the opposite of unfriendly or unacceptable. Commendable. And good report is talking about quality. And so I put together a little literal. For the rest, brethren, whatsoever things are truthful, honorable, righteous, holy, acceptable, commendable, of good quality, able to bring praise, take these things into account. I'll say it again. Whatsoever things are truthful, that would be for true. Honorable, that would be for honest. Just, that's righteous. Holy is pure. Lovely is acceptable. Good report, commendable. Virtue, of good quality. Able to bring praise. And the words think on, that's not in the text. It's take these things into account. So here's your assignment. I want you to come up with three examples of each one of these. Three examples of truthful things that you could bring to your memory. These are things I want you to remember. Three examples of honorable things. Three examples of righteous things. Three examples of holy things. Three examples of acceptable things. Three examples of commendable things. Three examples of good quality things. Three examples of things that would allow, that want, that makes you want to praise them or it. Now, if there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, actually, if you include praise, times 3, that's 24. If you came up with a list of 24 things that you would run through your mind, and you could put them on memory pegs, you could make a painting out of them, you could do anything you wanted to remind you of these things, and just run them through your mind, or take them into account when you're anxious, what do you think that would do for you? It will work. You just have to replace the old thought with the new ones. And then you'll be able to yield, declare, receive God's guard, and bring happiness into other people's lives, consequently your own. That, to me, my friends, is how you deal, according to God's word, with anxiety.